Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Today, the co-host is Chris Rossini, calling in from New Jersey. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Our program today is going to be Why Politicians Lie. You know, I think it'd be pretty easy to explain this. Politicians lie because government has a bunch of liars. But it's not quite so easy. A little more complicated, and that's simplistic. Besides, a lot of politicians I've known over the years don't even know they're lying. They've been influenced by what they accept as conventional wisdom. Well, this is what politicians do. They have to sort of fudge a little bit. They need to spin a little bit. A little demagoguery doesn't hurt anything. And our job is to take care of the people. And sometimes, you know, the people can't handle the truth. So I think they put that together and they rationalize it. They don't... They would never think they're a bunch of liars, even if they say that, we bend the Constitution a little bit, but they don't consider taking the oath and not even paying any attention as a lie and breaking an oath. They just totally ignore it because the people don't seem to hold them accountable. But there are so many things when you start thinking about this on where government is deceitful and how they mislead the people. But I think there's one broad principle that we should think about, and that is, what is government based on? Government's based on aggression, and that is the use of force. And so the government doesn't want to tell the people that everything they do is aggression. They have to conceal what they're actually doing by telling a lie and misleading people and say, we're really good people. These aren't lies, and this is not aggression. And then after a while, after these lies are told, there's more need for aggression, you know, because they have to maintain the lies. So it's a pyramid scheme in the building of violence coming from our government. And all we have to do is look at the pyramid originally started even back at the time right after the Constitution was signed. And certainly in the 20th century, government size and scope is pyramiding, just like the debt is pyramiding and all these other things. But it's based on that principle. And quite frankly, we're going to talk about the particular things about why and what government does and the politicians do when they lie. But overall, I think this problem can't be solved unless people understand the nature of government, what the government should be doing. And you can't have a government force and condone the force, but not understand why they have to do a little of fibbing, because quite frankly, the politician wouldn't do well if they were quite frank and told the people exactly the truth when it comes to economic matters, personal liberties, and foreign policy. That would be something that they just couldn't handle. So, Chris, I'm sure you've thought about this a little bit. What do you think of all this?
Especially when politicians campaign. I mean, they're not under oath. There are no contracts, no binding agreements between what they're saying to the crowds and what they have to do when they get in office. There's really no obligation to come through on anything that they say. Legally, they can say whatever they want. And so in that situation, the game becomes, well, I'll tell people what they want to hear so they'll pull my name in the booth. And that's really all that matters. And then once you're in, you're under no obligation to do any of it. And obviously, we've seen politicians do that. Now, politicians are not a special breed. All of us have the ability to lie. We're all free, so some of us will choose to tell the truth, and there will always be some people that are able to that will choose to lie. But outside of government, you at least have some control on how to react to it. If you know someone that lies, you can stay away from that person, not trust them. Or if a business lies to you, there's legal recourse, and you could stop doing business with them. You could immediately do something. But Dr. Paul, once we elect someone, it's four years, 6 years. Can't the government distract you in the meantime? So there's really no recourse on what we can do.
Well, the theory is that you have recourse at the polls, and what you describe is true, but I think that's coming to an end because the politician and the governments have been able to get away with this, especially in the United States, because we've been a very wealthy country. We had a powerful currency. We've been able to get away with inflation, and people then didn't worry about it because the politicians were very generous. Now they can't be quite so generous. You know, the one thing, though, that sort of caught my attention when I was in Washington is why is there no remorse, you know, when they make mistakes, they make false promises, or they devise an economic system that doesn't quite work, and today we have this tremendous number of people that are underemployed or unemployed, and they start wars that a lot of people die, a lot of innocent people that we kill, a lot of our people die and suffer. The consequences and successes are so poor, and you take the Bush era and this acceptance of a preemptive war. You think, oh my goodness, you know, I've made a mistake, and millions of people have died for this. I really didn't mean to do this. I wanted to remake the Middle East and make it a wonderful, nice place, and it hasn't happened. That never crosses their mind. They do not suffer from that because I believe that the politicians I knew are sort of sociopathic. They're immune from this self-assessment. It's not complete. It's not total because I did meet some people. Matter of fact, I met some in Washington that decided that maybe fiat currency doesn't make sense and we should look at sound money. Others have looked at foreign policy and said, hey, Ron, you're right on this thing that these wars are really stupid. But then they also, the big conflict for our politicians in Washington is they have been conditioned all their life, you know, certain economic rules and laws in their education. The more education they have, the more adamant they are because they have been taught Keynesian economics, you know, that it's okay to do this. It's proper. It's moral. More people are taken care of, and we have to help the poor, you know, and on and on. You know, a socialist never feels badly about what they're advocating, even though it's based on violent force of government to forcibly redistribute the wealth and make people a lot poorer. They never do that because the intellectuals are behind them and say, this is what you learn. I got an A because I was able to recite this to the professor, and now I'm doing it. And then they find excuses. And every once in a while, you come up with a politician that writes books about excuses on why things didn't quite go the way they thought. So I think that is part of the problem. But there are some specific things I'm sure you're aware of that government goes out and they go out of their way to mislead the people.
Oh, of course. It's all the time. Unfortunately, politicians, they learn from if lying equals success in getting elected, they don't have a change of heart and say, okay, that's it. I'm telling the truth from now on. Now, they continue to lie while they're in office. No matter who's in office, the economy is great. Obama's telling us the economy is great. Trump said, no, it isn't. Now Trump says, yes, it is. So they're always fabricating things, and there's no inflation, yet our bills, when I see my bills constantly rising, I'm not supposed to trust my own eyes. They tell me there's no inflation, right, and we're always winning, and so it continues beyond just the campaign. While they're in office, it's lying equals success, and it's pretty backwards.
A little bit more that goes along with what I was saying is, you know, the politician actually, they learn to lie to themselves. If they can't be true to themselves, you know, they can lie to everybody else and it doesn't bother them. But the other thing is a monetary factor and also the benefits to the politician because basically, they're rewarded for lying. You know, if you know how to do this and fib and get by and make rash promises and not be held to account, you progress and you stay in office or you get elected and you become chairman and you have to know how to do this. You have to raise money. So you get rewarded for spinning the lies and kowtowing to the special interest. In contrast to this, what if you're a whistleblower? And, you know, last weekend when we had our meeting in Alexandria at Dulles Airport, we talked to whistleblowers and they suffered. So telling the truth is a cost. And yet if you tell a lie, you get rewards. You say, all right, do this. Get me this contract. Yeah, I know we don't need this bomber, even if it is a weapon that's outdated 50 years. It's good for jobs, and they rationalize, and then they get a good donation. So unfortunately, the situation we have today that exists, that you are literally financially or politically rewarded, for lying. And then after you leave Congress, I always considered Congress as a schooling for the lobbyists. Just think how many end up in Washington. That's always a good test. When your congressman retires, if he says, oh, I'm staying in Washington, I'm not going back home again, that means he's part of the system and he will benefit materially from this. So it's there's a lot of things, and they can make that subconscious. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. You know, that's not the reason I do it. We really need all these weapons. Yes, we need to be in the Middle East to protect our liberties, and we need this to make us safe and secure and protect our Constitution. And they recite that over and over again. There's this belief, and it seems to work. Repetition will convince the people, but repetition doesn't make something true. It may deceive people, but it doesn't reveal the truth by just repeating a bunch of lies.
Yes, and it's amazing, Dr. Paul, that with this long history of lying, there's never a shortage of believers. Every election, it's hysteria, and nobody remembers. It's this time, I guess, is going to be different, but it never is different. And you know, when we have 300 million people, there's only so many people that one can know in your life that you could be close with, that are close to you. So it's always a shock. This president, he's only thinking about himself and the people that are closest to him. Well, yeah, he can't. How can you possibly represent 300 million people? It's a fairy tale. So what's the upside to this, Dr. Paul? Now we seek a society of liberty. Shouldn't, if government was restricted to just protecting our liberty, wouldn't we be much better off?
Oh, obviously so, and that is the answer, because that isn't micromanaging a person's finances, micromanaging a person's personal habits or religious habits, not micromanaging the internal and external affairs of other nations. And yet this has to be portrayed as something very necessary. I think the other factor that politicians have learned to use is fear. You know, fear in economic policy. When the crisis hit in 2009, believe me, there was a lot of fear in Washington. It ushered in this unbelievable age of QEs, which has given us trillions and trillions of dollars worth of debt and printing of money, which has yet to be resolved. But building up fear, whether it's economic or in foreign policy, I mean, the American people, you know, it took 8-10 months to get the American people behind going after Saddam Hussein because he had a nuclear weapon. He participated in 9/11. We got to do this because he might attack us. He's been gassing his own people. All a bunch of lies. But the people have to be very fearful. And it's an ongoing thing. We've taken care of Saddam Hussein and bin Laden and all these things. They have to say, well, it's terrorism. No matter what the incident, it's terrorism, which the people envision, oh, somebody invaded our country and they're causing our trouble. But you know, the numbers of people in our country since 9/11 that have been killed by foreigners coming in there for religious, radical reasons that have killed America, it's minuscule, and yet the image is so different. But the propaganda is there by the executive branch, the legislative branch, and certainly part of what we're talking about has to be confirmed by our media. Feed into it and telling, you know, to tell these lies and perpetuate the lies, whether it's economic lies or whether it's foreign policy lies. But, Chris, did anything come to your mind about some of the economic fallacies, some of the economic reports they give us in order to deceive us into thinking that everything is just okay?
Oh, of course. As I mentioned earlier, with inflation, we hear with unemployment. I mean, I just know from looking around the people that I know that it's not rosy. I mean, people have jobs, but people are struggling. But we're told to look at the Dow, look at the Dow. And that's, as long as the Dow is going up, that's supposedly our savior. But the boots on the ground read, at least from my perspective, is that it's not as great as they say it is. And but there are so many distractions to keep us occupied, that, as you mentioned with the media. I mean, they could just pull another Kathy Griffin out, and that'll keep everybody occupied for the next few days. And they're expert at this. North Korea, there's always something to keep our eyes off of, you know, our own struggling situations. So, I mean, my closing thought would be that stick with the truth, number one, and always push for a government that doesn't have so much influence and control. And then we don't have to worry about whether they're truthful or liars. They're powerless to begin with. Yes. And so what do you think, Dr.?
Well, you know, it's hard to say that this was a message of optimism. I described Washington and all the lying, all the problems we have, we're running out of money, we're in debt, we're in wars, and all of that. And yet, there is something to look at that is very positive. Because statistically, the American people don't believe the government anymore. You know, just think of what's happened since we had the Kennedy Commission studying about the Kennedy assassination. You know, at that time, everybody knew Oswald was guilty, and that's it. Now it's like 80% of the people don't believe the government report. Same way with 9/11. I'm pretty surprised about that. But think of the lies that have been told about 9/11 and Saudi Arabia and all this going on, and yet we're still bosom buddies with Saudi Arabia, and they're our best friends, and yet the American people now, by a large majority, believe there's something going on. The Congress voted unanimously to allow the American people to challenge the Saudi government because of their possible participation in 9/11. So the commissions don't work. The American people are alert. They don't trust. Right now, you know, I think there were a lot of people praying and hoping that cleaning out the swamp and a new president would change things. I think right now there's some discouragement on this, that maybe that's just not going to happen. But I blame it on not looking at the fundamentals. The force of government, what is it based on? It's based on a lie. It is not a proper purpose in a free society. The purpose of government ought to be to protect liberty and let people take care of themselves. That is the society that I will continue to work for. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.